Napa know-how.
Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You're listening to Thunderheads, a podcast for Thunder fans by Thunder fans.
Russ, I'm sure you don't want to be asked this question, but recently Kevin was asked if you guys were still cool, and he said you're still cool. Do you agree with that?
I haven't talked to him.
Welcome to Thunderheads. I'm Brandon Soule, joined as always by Rob Larson.
What's up?
And the dark and stormy Jason Lewis.
Yes, sir.
That was Russell Westbrook at Thunder Media Day last week. And just throwing a little shade Katie's way. I don't even know if that's his intention.
It's not more really like shade. It's just he's telling the truth.
Or stop asking me about it, maybe.
Like, I don't care.
And the thing that's funny is, you know, Katie hears that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if Russ hears the things that KD says. Probably not, because he seems like
a guy. I don't think he pays attention to stuff.
The way he talks, I believe
maybe he does secretly, and he's just like, but I don't. I feel like he's very genuine about not having talked to him and not ever hearing
things. Absolutely, he's genuine about not talking to him, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Russ cares to talk to him or about the entire
or about
situation
him at all. Yeah.
It's
like he's over it.
The way that Russ reacts to those questions, though, doesn't it kind of? He's kind of got a chip on his shoulder about the whole deal, right?
A little bit.
Wouldn't you say?
I mean,
like
that's just kind of how he answers questions.
I know it's how he is, but
it's usually questions he doesn't want to deal with or answer is the ones he.
That's what it is, though. I mean, he doesn't want to talk about it. He's like,
but like, couldn't you also see Russ in another scenario maybe be like, it's his life and it was a decision he made and,
Which I think he said something
like. We spent 8 years together and it was fun. Whatever, move on.
But it almost feels like he's answering these questions as if he was answering questions that he's been asked after he lost a game.
It could be, yeah. I mean,
so like, you know, he's kind of like chippy about it.
Well, I'm sure he knew that he was going to get asked about that
too.
As soon as KD, you know, said that, I mean, obviously you're going to go to Russ and say, "True."
Well, I guess that's kind of what we're talking about before, though. Do you think Russ even knows about that stuff? Like,
I'm sure he got a text or something.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure
Ray West,
right? His brother or someone that he knows is like, "You hear what KD said?" He's like, "Nah."
Some TMZ guy. Hey.
Yeah, exactly.
Running up to him on the streets.
TMZ guys everywhere in OKC.
What a shitty job that is. Did we talk about that before?
We definitely have. Just running up on people.
Yeah. Hey, answer this question.
Most annoying person alive. How much
I would shoot myself.
Self-respect do you lack to have that job?
I would shoot myself day one on that job.
Just like admiring and worshiping celebrities and everything they do.
Yeah.
And just being a dirtbag. No one said dirtbag in 10 years.
Since that Teenage Dirtbag song, I think. I'm just a teenage dirtbag.
Gone down.
There's no turning back at this point.
In the weeds?
Let's just ditch the outline altogether.
Like
no, the Thunder had their annual blue-white scrimmage last night, or if you're listening to this the day after we recorded this, it's 2 nights ago.
What about if you're listening to it 3 days after?
Right. And so on and so forth. I mean, you can do the math.
It goes
if you
on.
Want. But I guess some things to take away from it. The main thing is Payne. Payne tweaked his ankle, Cameron Payne. This comes right on the heels of him having recovering from his Jones fracture surgery. Is this something to worry about? I mean, everyone's saying kind of it's not really a big deal. He just tweaked it. They took him out precautionary. Why would you keep playing a scrimmage, right? It's not a big deal, right?
I mean, it's kind of worrisome just in the fact that the Thunder are going to need him to have a bigger role this year. And so, I mean, obviously we would like for him to not get injured in that case. And so, I mean, just the fact that he had a minor injury just sort of sets up for the season that we might see more of this. Just little things tweak, you know, a finger that, you know, he has to tape up. Or I mean, it's just things that typically happen in a long 82-game season that – you know,
well, and they're happening to him over the summer.
Yeah.
And you know, the Thunder bring in a guy like Ronnie Price, a veteran point guard that plays good defense. You know, he doesn't have the offensive skill that Cameron Payne has. But do you think that could be worrisome maybe for not only Cameron Payne himself losing minutes to a guy like Ronnie Price, but maybe to Thunder fans who are ready to see Cameron Payne in that role that you're talking about, Rob?
very much could.
Yeah. I mean, if he's healthy, obviously there's no issue.
There's any chance? I mean, just because of this time that maybe he's maybe missed this summer and maybe try to get him in.
It's a bummer that he got hurt a little bit, but it's also a bummer that he didn't get the extra reps. Not like the scrimmage was super important to his growth, but it's more reps. Like the more and more he can get in right now, the better, I think.
So, to me, if
they're holding him out of like preseason games and stuff because of this, that's going to be kind of a bummer.
I mean, the game is almost just a glorified practice, right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know how much it really matters.
I mean, when they start kind of ramping up.
Yeah. Like, if he starts missing games,
if he's out next Monday in the preseason game, then you're a little more worried. And then if he's out the next game, then you're a little more worried, and so on and so forth. But
it sounds minor, though, right?
It sounds minor. I mean, you saw him kind of hobbling around. I saw a video of him hobbling around afterwards, and he went back to the locker room, but it doesn't sound like anything. You know, it's not a severe sprain or anything like that. He just tweaked it. I mean, it's minor role. But that is something I think there's legitimate cause for concern about a guy like Ronnie Price coming in working hard. He knows. I mean, if anything, it's going to be great for Cameron Payne because he's going to come in. He's going to work really hard. He had a quote, Ronnie Price did, about how Russ has just been, you know, awesome for him because he's having to come to practice ready every single day. And so if he's doing that, it's going to be great for campaign.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it does worry me a little bit, but it kind of goes back to the conversation. What are the Thunder's goals this year? You know, if you know you're not a championship contender, don't you develop your young guys? Because it's not like, even if Ronnie Price is better on the court than Payne is because of his defense.
You still send Cam out.
It's not going to be a big drop off.
Yeah.
So you play Payne, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You get him those reps. I mean, that's whenever you talk about reps. I mean, that's what we want to see is, you know, him against in games that count and against players that, you know, are also trying to make it like he is. So.
And another thing that stood out to people that were there, which wasn't any of us. was Roberson, I guess, that
killing his
shot.
It?
I think Royce Young said something about his shot looking more fluid.
His handles are apparently pretty decent. He had six assists.
Six assists to lead the game, and I guess he's really been working on his handles. I meant to pull the quote so I could read it, and I didn't.
Well, they were saying something about him handling the ball in fast breaks a little more, and he was saying that the team is kind of trying all together to work to where they can all push the ball without having to look for Russ first. Which I really like because it seemed like at times last year and the year before, like they would get a rebound and then they just stand there and like stare and say, "Where's Russ? Where's Russ?"
Or KD. And now that there's no KD,
like
you're gonna have to evenly distribute. Yeah. People are gonna have to pick up the slack, you know, for KD. People besides Russ, because you can't be like, because
Russ is already doing.
Yeah,
he's
already overloaded. He always has been, you know. So yeah, I mean, if Roberson can implement that into his game and be effective. He's so athletic and he's so long and he has the ability to dunk the ball in transition. It could be huge.
Well, and you remember in the playoffs last year where he started kind of being used as a passer down low and stuff. Like, I think he did a really good job of that. He started figuring out how to pass really fast instead of sitting there and waiting. So if he can do more of that, I think it's huge.
Jason, I got the quote pulled up. You're pretty spot on with most of it. The part that I thought was, you know, pretty important was he said that they want to play at a higher pace. You know, once you get a rebound, they just want everybody to take off running. And also he, in part of the quote too, he said that they want to have all of these parts sort of be interchangeable, which from the makeup of the team seems exactly like what we have talked about before too, in that, you know, with KD gone, there's going to have to be multiple guys that are going to have to step up. And part of that is playing a little different and trying to make sure that guys can do more than what we've seen them do in the past. Yeah, so
I agree. It's going to be much more of a collective effort than it has been.
I mean, do you guys have faith in a guy like Roberson being able to do something like that, handle the ball up the court?
If you would have asked me that at the beginning of last year, I would say hell no, which I think I did say that. But now after seeing him kind of develop over last year and what he did, especially in the playoffs, I think his development has been amazing. And I think it's a huge credit to Presti and the Thunder coaches to have been playing him this whole time.
He seems like a guy that puts in the work.
Yeah, like no matter how bad he's been and how bad the criticism has been for him being a starter, like they've still been playing him, you know, and getting him.
Yeah, and I think we all saw it pay off a little bit in the postseason, like you were saying. Yeah, that's all.
I mean, a little bit, but I mean, you still temper expectations.
Yeah, I mean, he's not like an all-star.
If you talk about how in a 7-game series in the playoffs, right? I mean, his passing ability may improve. His dribbling ability may improve. Yeah. His shooting ability is not going to improve drastically to where you're going to have to honor him as a pick and roll ball handler.
No. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Not like that, but I just think he's showing more than I expected from him.
I'm with you there.
Even whenever we've seen it with his shot that, you know, if he gets a wide open three and misses it, it's like his confidence gets down.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. If he gets a rebound and tries to turn it up court and turns it over, he's going to be in his own head at that point. And
he was a guy amongst many other guys on the Thunder in the past that when, like you were saying earlier, Jason, they get a rebound, they immediately look for Russ or KD.
He would always do that.
And sometimes they'll throw the ball backwards.
Or to Ibaka or something. He used to do
Ibaka
that.
Was so bad.
I remember
bad
he
about
did
it.
That one time and I was like, Robertson threw it to Ibaka, and then Ibaka froze and was like, what do I do with it?
Yeah, exactly. And they'll take off dribbling. Strange. One dribble, and they'll be like, oh, I'm not supposed to do this. And then they'll like, where are you?
Travel.
No matter what, I am throwing it to you, you know? So you can't do that. So it would be nice if they have that freedom. I think that's something that Billy Donovan may look to implement a little bit, is give other players freedoms that maybe they haven't had before with Kevin Durant on the team, because, you know, let you play. Give a little free flow to the game. Let guys come out of their skin a little bit. And
that's a very Spursian thing to do. Like, if you let your bench get involved, then you're going to have a good bench, because they're going to kind of glue together. And that's what we want.
It's a natural thing when you look at a team that has both Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant on it. Like, those two guys need the ball, you know? And they're our best players. I trust them more than any of these other. But now, you know.
And you're like, we have to win a championship.
Now it's like, we got to work together. We need everyone to contribute.
That's the only way you could ever hope to beat Golden State Golden State. That's
or just
that
be
matters.
Or just fulfill, you know, your ceiling.
Get to the playoffs,
so to speak.
But I do like the idea of this team getting out and running more. With, you know, I trust Oladipo more than I would have trusted Waiters in that role. I really hope, which still yet to be seen, what's going to happen with McGarry. But that's another guy that can get up and down the court and put pressure on the defense. So I don't know if they're going to use him. Obviously, Hustis is really athletic, so maybe
he's not a ball handler.
No, he's not a ball handler, but he can get up and.
Oh,
you
just mean like
in
transition?
Yeah, you put pressure on the defense, and so I hope that they play more up tempo, and we don't have to see, because I think they're going to struggle shooting the ball, and in the half court, that's going to be really bad. So if they can just get up and down the court,
they got guys that can scoot up the court.
Yeah,
you're right. I mean. They do need some more capable passers on the team, and I think that's why Robertson is working on what he's working on. Like you said, Oladipo, I mean, he's going to be adequate in that department. And then you got Russ, who's going to be one of the best, if not the best, in that situation in the entire league. So, and then another guy impressed in the scrimmage, supposedly, is I almost said Arvydas Sabonis. Domantas Sabonis, his Arvydas's son. He was 5-for-8. I think he was 4-for-4 in the first quarter. He had 10 points or something. But he had 14 points in the game, 3 rebounds. He hit a 3, which is cool. But
that's good.
I was reading things. His jump shot looked fluid and everything. We're going to get more into him a little bit later. But, I mean, that's a good sign. You see a rookie out there, looks comfortable. I mean, the guy's got skills. We all know this and everything. And that kind of naturally segues us right into our little debate we're about to have about who's going to start at the 4, because this is an unknown, right? I mean... No one knows who's going to start at the 4. I mean, everyone has a pretty good idea, you know.
Right.
There's people who have a good idea, and most people say Ersan Ilyasova. That's who they think is going to start at the 4, but you never really know. I mean, last night for the white team, which was the team that had Russ, it had Oladipo, it had Robertson, it had Sabonis, and it had Steven Adams. 4 of those guys are for sure starters. Right. I mean, you could maybe question Oladipo or Robertson depending on how, but probably not, you know.
I think
that's interesting, because last year, Donovan did the same thing. He started, which Adams didn't play in the scrimmage last year because he had a hurt back. Mm. So Cantor started at the center, but he started with the starters. Mm. So it's kind of funny. Like, I don't know the way they split it up. I don't know if there's something there, or if that's just, we might read too much into that, but
it could.
Let's just start with, who wants to go first? You guys have your assignments. I gave them assignments. I'm like their teacher, and I grade them.
Thanks, Dan.
I give them gold stars.
Go with Ilyasova.
No, I've been talking for too long.
He's good. No, just start there.
Okay, we'll start with Ilyasova. I got a little pros and cons here. Ilyasova, he's what most people think are going to start, yeah, right? And the reason is he's a veteran. He's eight-year veteran, been in the league, lots of teams these past couple years. But he can shoot. He's a 37% career shooter from three-point line. He led the NBA in charges taken last year, so it's not like he is the worst defender in the world. He has, I don't know, some maybe intangible skills that other guys might not have because they're younger. He's averaged double-digit scoring in six of his eight seasons in the league, but he's also a high-volume shooter, so I don't know how much you can credit him for that because maybe those shots aren't going to be there. But he's going to space the floor for the offense, which is huge. He takes care of the ball. He doesn't turn it over too much, and he can run around screens, which is kind of rare for a power forward because he can really run around and space the floor for Russ and Oladipo and guys like that. However, he's not a very good screen setter, so you're not going to be able to use him too effectively in the pick and pop, I don't think. I mean, maybe a little bit, but he's just not a great screen setter. He's slow-footed. Like I said before, he's a high-volume shooter, and he's never really been a very good passer. So that's what worries me about it. But I think he's probably the favorite in the clubhouse, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely say.
I would say from at least media's perspective and everything.
Yeah, everyone
that's talking about it seems to be going with him.
We're media.
We're kind of media.
Don't say kind of.
Not.
And so I think that's the case for Ilyasova. I think with all of these guys that we're going to talk about, the fact that they get to play with Steven Adams because they all sort of struggle defensively.
Right.
I mean, that's a positive for them. And I think even more so with Ilyasova. So that's a pretty good case. You got one for Joffrey?
Got old King Joffrey.
Okay, so this is your case for Joffrey starting.
Yeah.
Which I think is the real dark horse in this whole scenario,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because, I mean, it was also, like, one big thing is it was a pretty weird out-of-the-blue trade that no one saw coming. Like,
and
it
not
just
only
happened.
That, but a lot of, unless you're a hardcore NBA fan, you watch a lot of NBA, you really don't know who he is, you know? So
and one weird thing is that he came from Denver, who already has a really crowded front court, and he came basically to the same situation where we have a crowded front court, because we've got McGarry and all these other guys, you know, just waiting to play.
Cressy's just stashing young talent.
Just sitting them back there. I think he looks like a really good player. I like that he seems to have really good hands. He can move well. I feel like I'm comparing him in my head a lot to Ibaka because he can do those things better than Ibaka could. I mean, obviously the defense isn't there, and I don't think his mid-range game is quite as good because Ibaka's...
But it's good.
It's good,
though.
And one thing I noticed is from 14-15 to 15-16, he improved. He had an 11% improvement in field goal percentage, which he also played.
So what do you mean, like, from his – because he's going into his third year, right?
This is his third year, yeah. So his first year, he shot 40%, and then he shot 51% from the field last year. And, I mean, he played a lot more games. He played 24 games in the first year, 59 in the second year.
Well, if anything, I mean, that's impressive. So.
Yeah, that's good, and he had more minutes and everything. He actually did earn the starting job in Denver, but then had a back injury, I guess, and then kind of fell off for, like, 12 games he didn't play.
And they had a crowded front court, so it's interchangeable parts.
Nurkic and...
Jokic.
But I mean, he has like a really good game. He can kind of stretch the floor a little. He didn't shoot the three all that well, per se. I mean, he's at 23% on his career, so it's not great.
Right.
But he doesn't really have many attempts. Steven Adams was asked about him, and he said he's got a good touch, man. He's good, a little stretch guy that one for him. He said him.
It's like Adams is here with us.
Yeah.
I mean, that was spot on.
That was a good impression.
Could you just continue that the rest of the pod?
Yeah.
Just keep going with the Adams
impression. I'm still doing it.
Right.
Okay. This is normal.
This is dead on.
It's a great impression.
So for your case, I will say this. The fact that, I mean, you brought up a great point. He showed improvement, which you said it, Brandon, he was a dark horse. Which, if he is in practice and he looks good with Adams and, you know, whoever he has chemistry with, that's who he's going to end up playing with, right?
Right.
Obviously, because – and this will be his first – obviously, they just traded for him. And so you said he's a dark horse, but to me, I think there's a chance there that he actually could be the starter if he looks good with that first team.
Yeah.
And the only thing, so the difference there, Ilyasova, obviously there's a lot more
experience.
And he's a veteran bases. Guy that can, you kind of know what you're
there's
getting.
There's a small sample size here.
But if they're in practice and they're seeing improvement and they like what they see, I don't think there's any reason to just discount him because they just traded for him, you know. And
oh, sure. So
I have two other things.
There's before you get to him, there's nothing Presti would like more than seeing a guy like Laverne sweet. Break out, a guy he traded 2 second-rounders for.
Yeah, that would be
and break out and be their starting power forward and the successful one at that. And Laverne at Media Day, that someone asked him, does he want to be a starter? And he said yes. Like
that was one of my things.
Oh, well, fuck.
That's what he said. He just goes, yes.
Yeah. That
was the whole answer, and then he walked off.
And then he said bonjour.
Yeah. Oh, he didn't say that, yeah.
I don't know if he
probably.
Did.
I don't know.
He's French.
He said he's...
Baguette.
All right, what was your second thing?
Croissant!
I don't remember.
Okay, good.
Oh, no.
Hold on. Are you still doing the Stephen Adams impression right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Of course. Can't you tell? I don't know. I don't want you to have to keep asking.
Mate.
But he got elbowed in the eye last year, and apparently was, like, pretty brutal looking. Ooh. And didn't miss a game.
Ooh, Russ style. So he's got some toughness
about him,
which is
so
good.
So that way, that's what I was thinking when you said Stephen Adams. Playing together, 2 tough guys down there, and they're foreigners.
And I think, I mean,
all 3 of these guys are foreigners.
Boom.
All 4 of them are foreigners.
But. All right, well, yeah, you're right. All 4 that we're about to talk about are foreigners, which is crazy.
The starter, band foreigner.
Unless the Thunder do something crazy, the starter at the 4 is going to be foreign. Anyways, make the case for Kanter, Rob.
Okay, so this one seems pretty easy. I think it's pretty safe to say.
Whoa!
No. I think it's pretty safe to say Cantor's the better, the most talented of these guys that we're talking about.
But, yeah.
And so obviously it's easy to go to what Kanter and Russ were able to do. With KD out before that, we got to see the pick and roll, which was great.
Yeah.
With KD out again or gone. They're going to need that offense, and I think what better to have to start the game off and just hit people with a pick and roll. You're going to still have, probably Robertson that you're going to be able to hit cutting to the basket. You're still going to be able to use Adams because regardless of who they start, I think Adams needs to have more of an offensive role with this team. But I think it takes pressure off whenever you have a guy like Kanter who you know that you can use in the pick and roll. It's extremely effective. And so that's the first point that I have.
And you always have a guy, if you do start Kanter, you always have one of Kanter or Adams there to clean up or have the potential to clean up.
So,
two of the best
rebounders. Is this team is going to have to play to their strengths completely. You're not going to be able to rely on Russ and KD to bail you out. Rebounding is how we're going to kill so many teams.
Because everyone's playing small. We just
roll
twin towers.
Yeah, you're going to have to use – that's going to have to be our strength. That's going to have to be what we do well. And they're going to have to figure out how to play against smaller lineups and make that work. And I just think if you
can
just –
that's the big downside, right? Is the guarding.
The guarding.
The defense.
But that's with all of them.
That's true.
But I think if you can kill people on the board it has to be effective every single night. You have to want to do it every night. But I think what better than Kanter and Adams – starting out the game, just completely, killing people on the boards and cleaning
the tone.
It also has to be offensively too, though. Kanter, if he's going to be out there, has to be getting offensive boards.
Yeah.
I will say that Cantor's probably the most slow-footed of the bunch.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's the worry there.
It is.
And it's nice having him come off the bench because of his productivity that he provides.
Right, because he is the most talented of all of them. But what I will say lastly is that so I think with any of these guys, it should always be staggered, and I hope that it's completely fluid. We're getting to see all of these guys playing together, but what I think you get with him is that he's had that time with this team already.
Right,
he's had the time with Russ. He's played with Adams before, and we've gotten to see it before, and so why not just try and hit people early? And then, what I would like to see actually is to see Kanter or Adams out there all the time. Just like what they did with Russ and KD last year.
That's not a bad idea.
A really interesting idea. Actually,
it's not a bad idea.
I like that. Well, and also if like,
and you can do that without starting Kanter, but
sure,
but yeah,
yeah. But also kind of one of our concerns with starting Cantor before was that you kind of lose that production on the bench. But with Laverne or any of these other guys, they're all offensive minded. So you kind of don't lose that now. So,
and you, going back to the staggering point you were making, Rob, I think that actually it sounded like great idea at first, but now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of think that might be a no-brainer, kind of, because really those guys, in my mind, those are the only two centers on the roster, I think. Right, yeah. I mean, Laverne has been listed as a center.
But he
I don't think he's a center.
He said he prefers the four.
Yeah,
he had to play the five in Denver because there was an injury.
And I know that some people think Sabonis is this, it can be a center. I don't think so. He's a four to me.
So you're not wanting to go small at all?
I think you can go small, but I'm just...
You're saying in a traditional
lineup.
But like
you're saying, if your best attribute as a team is rebounding,
right?
Why not pound that home?
And I'd rather them not go small. I mean, with KD, it made sense. You know, it was a lot easier. But now that you don't have that, you know, having Ilyasova or Laverne playing the five... With whoever else out there. I mean, I don't like that at all. So I hope that they don't play small. I hope that they're able to find a way to make people play big.
It's always nice to have the versatility, though. Like, if you need to and if you find it in your capabilities.
But I don't see it. I don't see it with this
roster. It's hard to say that, though.
I feel like you can play Robertson at the four.
I think so. I think they experimented with it in the playoffs a little bit. I agree. I think you can. Depending on who you play a team that has a big guy that, I don't know, like a center that is just not, you're not worried about at all, and you know you can just kill this team athletically, because that's another thing the Thunder have going for them. They're athletic. And so I think that's where you can, I don't know, there's going to be moments that they're going to have that opportunity to go small.
They should definitely toy around. And speaking of that, I think we're going to see a lot of lineup changes and toying around with, like we did last year. Mm-hmm. So people are going to have to hold on to their butts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we just talked about the fours, but I hope that the entire roster
everything's
going to
be showing.
Well, and then there's another one, Sabonis, who's really going to, he's coming up, and people are, especially after the scrimmage last night, I know it was a scrimmage, and like I said before, he started at the four for the starters.
I think that point you made about him starting at the four is kind of impressive. Like, it's kind of a bigger deal than I
Here's kind of my
earlier.
View on it. I think that best case scenario for Billy Donovan is that Sabonis is good enough that he can start him at the four. I think that's what Donovan wants. I think that's what Presti wants, because if you had to pick one guy on this roster, who's the future starting four on this team?
Yeah.
Sabonis, right?
Right.
Why? Of course you want to play him. Of course you want to develop him. He has valuable experience. Like he played at Gonzaga and he's played overseas. He's played in the Olympics. The guy has more versatility than any other of these guys that we've been talking about by far. Probably. Mm-hmm. He has more varied skill set. He can do a little bit of everything, which is kind of what you need at that four position in the NBA. But that being said, he's a rookie. So it's like, can you trust him? You know, so on and so forth.
Do you need to trust him right now?
Exactly. But I think that I honestly, truly believe that I think Donovan wants it to work out with Sabonis starting at the four. I mean, I think that you can point to the scrimmage last night, the starting lineup he rolled out, as evidence that's his vision.
Yeah,
and I think with a guy like Ilyasova coming off the bench, a veteran like that, that you can have stretch the floor, and like I said before, he shoots at a high volume and he gets his shots up. He'll have his opportunities to do that more so with a bench unit than he would with the starting unit.
So I don't make anything out of the fact that he played with the white team last night. I mean, you're not going to have... I think whenever you're doing a scrimmage like that, you're not going to have Cantor and Adams on the same team. I don't think...
That would be weird.
I don't think you're going to do it. You're going to have those two guard each other. And other than that, you had Laverne and Hustis were on that team. And then if you're going to say Collison was guarding Sabonis, I mean, there wasn't... I don't see where there was just a lot of
friction.
I don't see how hard it would have been for him is all I'm saying. And I think whenever you get,
what do you mean? I don't know.
So like, there's not someone to guard him. Like, yeah, so I mean, his impressive stat line is really loose. Like,
I'm not even talking about a stat line. Like, I don't care about
talking about them starting him with, which I think is kind of a thing, but maybe not.
I think we'll have to see. I didn't
in
make
preseason.
Much of it because Adams is on one side, Cantor is on the other. Like, I think that's what you get with.
If he starts in preseason, I think,
you have to say something though.
Oh no!
That the other four guys are almost locks for starters, right?
Yeah.
On there, so it's kind of interesting. Like, and even you go through the bench, Ilyasova, Singler, Payne. I mean, those are guys that are key bench guys. And then you go on the other team, the blue team, Ronnie Price, Anthony Morrow, who no one's real sure if he's going to get valuable minutes. Hustis, he started at the small forward. Laverne at the power forward. Kanter, you know he'll get minutes. And you're right, they're not going to put Kanter and Adams on the same right. team. But yeah, then Collison and then Abrinas.
So I will, this is what I'll say. Anytime when it's not a scrimmage, I think if we're looking at preseason games and you see Sabonis out there starting at the four, I would agree. But I just don't make anything of it just because it was a scrimmage and you want to try and put you know, Kanter and I think it's probably Ilyasova who's going to start. And Ilyasova was on that team and he didn't. So, you know, I'm, you know, maybe that's what you look more into. But.
What I'm saying, I'm not saying I think for sure Sabonis is going to start or anything like that.
It's just kind of an indicator. Like,
I think that it's more of an indicator as what Donovan wants. Like, that's his. Right. That's what he hopes can happen. That's what he thinks. Best case scenario is Sabonis is good enough. Sabonis has the necessary skill set that he can make the starting unit the best it can be, if that makes sense.
I could almost see Donovan, like, through these preseason games, just rolling out a new four every game. Just saying, hey, let's just try Laverne here.
Oh, he probably will too.
This guy here. Let's try.
He probably will because he's gonna want to see.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't surprise me that very first preseason game is gonna be that exact same starting lineup.
Right.
You know, if Russ plays, which I think normally they play the stars in the first couple, and then they start sitting them towards the end, if I'm not mistaken. But we polled the listeners, and this is what they say: 38% Enes Kanter for the lead. Which I was surprised by. I really thought most people would say Ilyasova for the lead, but our listeners...
Most people don't agree with the media.
I think people love Kanter. Media, I mean, right? Thunder fans love Kanter. You know, they really do. And and they see his productivity and...
And his good tweets.
And also, his good tweets,
Part of that, though, is I think if this team is going to be successful, and it doesn't mean he has to start, but Kanter's going to have a big role. He's going to have to show improvement. He's going to have a big role.
Whether he starts or not, he's got to have a huge role. And, and like you said, his defense is... Got to get better, which it has. So
yeah, he's shown signs. I mean, because I guess the last thing in our brain about Kanter's defense is the Golden State series, and he had no place on the court,
which isn't fair.
It's
right?
not fair.
I mean, because
that's
against
exactly.
the Spurs, he looked. I mean, amazing. It was so effective
against Dallas. He was so effective. Yeah, I think there might have been two games in the Dallas series that he took over at certain points. You know, I mean, because he's that good on offense that he can.
It doesn't matter.
You know, it changes a game when you're scoring every possession because what's the other team going to do, you know? So if you can pound the rock down to Kanter, what are you going to do? I mean,
I like that, yeah.
And then, let me finish the poll. 38% Kanter, 32% Ilyasova, 24% Sabonis, and only 6% Joffrey Laverne. But I also will say that people's unfamiliarity with him contributes to that number
sure.
a lot.
And because they don't like Franches.
Yeah. France? Oh, he's from France?
He ain't one of them Freedom Fries? Look, y'all.
What is that?
Wait, well, you don't know what Freedom Fries are?
Freedom Fries?
It's the opposite of French fries.
Well, it's what they called whenever there was terrorism.
Oh, so then, okay,
it's
I got
Freedom
it.
Fries. You go to Toby Keith's?
Guys, I'm not a historian.
You go to Toby Keith's, I love this bar and grill, you'll get some Freedom Fries. Tell you that right now.
Isn't that closed down?
No, that was the restaurant right next door.
You know what's, and then they reopened. You know what is actually open?
It's though. Actually open.
Yeah. Legacy Grill.
Yeah, I called that.
Anybody been?
Pot of go.
Nope. Haven't.
Anybody plan to go?
Yes, I plan to go.
At some point. I want that. Well, they took away my salmon, though, didn't they?
They took away the salmon.
Is that, where, that, you, chicken and waffles, is that where you go pregame? I mean, is that...
I've been
you,
there a couple times.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was where you usually go or not.
Nah, not typically, but it is a good spot for that. It's a decent little walk.
It's not
though,
called
you know?
Kitties.
Hey, we got a game.
We do have a game.
It's a little game of this or that. Here they come, yo. Here they come. Here they this or that. 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 This all right, this is this or that. It's a pretty broad game. We're just going to present a scenario or something like that. And we're going to give two options, and you got to pick, is it this or is it that? So, you know what? I'll go first. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
Hey, go ahead.
Pay attention.
I was looking at my iPhone.
You have two?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is a scenario. This is a hypothetical, right? The trade deadline is approaching, and Sam Presti is interested in two potential deals, but he can only pick one.
Mm.
This, which is Ersan Ilyasova and Mitch McGarry for Shabazz Muhammad and a second rounder. or that campaign in Mitch McGarry?
The blockbuster.
For Kelly Oubre and Trey Burke. Ooh. Gotta pick one.
What will it be, Rob?
I'm going with that.
He's going that.
So yeah. You're going to give up Payne.
Well, so
if you have to pick one.
I like the Kelly Oubre
thing. I really like, yeah.
He's so young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good.
And, yeah. And yeah, I mean, he's like really athletic.
Who's the second guy in that too?
Trey Burke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's okay. He's almost a bust. Yeah, you know, Trey Burke's.
But he's.
He hasn't really worked out. But, you know, I pretty much included him in that trade for point guard security for the Thunder, you know.
And I'm assuming the money works on that.
Money works on both
trade machine
trades.
Those.
Absolutely.
All right. I like it. I don't want to give up campaign, but I think that it sort of seems like the price is right. What can I say?
Look at that.
Yeah. That was perfect.
I didn't even have to do
thank
it.
Thank you. Yeah. I can do those from now on.
Okay, cool.
So you have no interest in like a guy like Shabazz Muhammad. I think he could be an interesting pickup if the Thunder could snag him.
I think he's just another guy to me, though.
He's going to be one of those guys that gets and doesn't make baskets again.
I think it's one of those things. He's always played well versus the Thunder, so that sticks in my head. Yeah. And I know that he hasn't played well in his career.
Hasn't he always been on shitty teams for the most part?
He's been on Timberwolves. Yeah, he's been on Timberwolves his whole career. I mean, he's still a youngish guy. You know, he was a really good prospect in college. Like he was supposed to go real high in the draft and kind of fell, kind of Perry Jones style.
Oof.
And is now just, I don't
ouch.
Know. Anybody else got one?
A little rough cut there.
Yeah, I'll go next. All right. So we saw from, not that I make much of it, but the blue and white game, Anthony Morrow, 7-for-10 for 20 points.
Woo!
So what's more likely to happen? This. Morrow scores 30 points in a single game this season, or that Morrow averages 15 points per game this season.
This.
So you're taking one shot.
30-point game. Yeah, I can see that.
I think that,
because he could get hot one game.
And going back to what Jason was talking about earlier about the lineups being toyed with for a good part of the season, I think that's going to happen. I don't think he's going to be a nightly player. They're going to give Abrines a shot to see what he can do, and I think that's going to dig into Morrow's minutes a little bit.
I was really hoping you guys would go with that.
I would hope they need
15
shooting. Points a game is a lot of
and
points.
And he's never averaged 15 points per game.
That would be
yeah.
He's gotten close. It was like 13. I think 13.2 or something like that was his highest. And obviously, recently he hasn't. You know, playing time has been scattered. He's been injured and stuff like that. So, but I think it would be a stretch 15. But I think they really. I mean, they need him.
If I had to predict, I'm thinking more like 8.
Are you?
7 or 8 points
a
game.
To me, that'd be a little disappointing.
Really? I just don't see that. I'm thinking 15 minutes a game for him. I really just don't think that many minutes for him. I still going back to the. I think Donovan's going to toy with it. I think he's going to have games he doesn't get on the court. I think he's going to have games that he plays 25 minutes, you know?
If he's able, and my whole thing is if he's able to, whenever he does play, they use him. Well, he gets shots while he's out there. It's so valuable for this team to stretch the floor with Morrow.
Well, in Jason Potter's article that talked about Morrow, I thought was really good, where he said the more minutes he gets, the more shots he gets to put up, the better he's going to
get. Yeah, which is a completely valid point.
Yeah. So, which you still have to deal with the defensive liability thing. But
absolutely.
So what if I had brought that down to like 12 points per game?
Are you bargaining
with
him
now? Yeah, I'm bargaining,
I still think I'd probably go this.
So, okay. All right.
10, though, I'd probably say that.
What if he took it down to 10?
10, I'd say that.
Can I get you for 8?
10 and a half.
Can I lock you in, at 8?
Going once? Going back
get
to
you
Jason
in today.
Potter.
I'll get you in it today.
What can I do? Okay. Going back to Jason Potter's article, though, he makes a point about if you're not going to use Morrow in that fashion, trade him.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Use him or lose him.
That point is super interesting because
I can't stop car salesman. No.
I like it. As Steven Adams.
Yeah.
And the reason why that's interesting is because Morrow does have a certain value because there's so many teams out there that'd be like, he can shoot real good.
I mean, a playoff team, I really do. I think he has value if you can find a playoff team that just it needs shooting. Especially with injuries. Like if an injury happens and you
Cavs
just need somebody.
I was just about to say.
They're like, we need 3-point shooting.
Yeah, exactly.
He would probably be so good in limited minutes with LeBron.
He would kill it.
That's frustrating.
And then LeBron would just defend everybody by himself, so he doesn't have to worry about it.
All right, here's another one. If you could just pick one of these two things for Russell Westbrook to improve his game, which would it be? This, shoot 35% from three, or that, only two turnovers per game?
This.
Do we have any sounders for this game at all? Or
no.
You just use your voice.
This.
I don't like that.
I'm going this.
What are you going, Rob?
I mean, it's probably this.
Yeah.
More than likely it is, but...
The two turnovers thing would be real nice.
You can hope.
It's tough here.
But I don't want him to restrain himself from his slinging the ball.
But that's what you got to think. He's not restraining himself. He's that good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done.
But at the same time, if he shoots 35% from three, that means he's scoring six more points a game.
Yeah, and he's not taking those dumbass.
More efficient.
It also helps every single other part of his game whenever he's hitting threes, and you have to respect that.
It's interesting. I mean, if he could just shoot 35%, I'd probably just crumble.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
PG. The letters are in there. Jason, you have one?
Yeah, I do. So people have been talking about Houston's being pretty impressive lately. Joshua.
Okay. Yeah.
Joshua is actually what I call him.
It's Josh.
It's a soft J. Joshua. It's kind of like
That's a silent J. That's not a soft one.
Soft. All right. Yeah.
All right, what do you got?
Otherwise, it'd just be Oshua.
Okay. Oh, I gotcha. Huh. Oh, so you actually said Yosh?
Joshua. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Okay. Well, we got into that a little too deep.
Yeah, I'm gonna go this. Okay, sorry.
Joshua for the win.
This is getting out of hand.
Joshua for 400. Okay, so this season, who will get more playing time? This, Josh Eustace, or that, Kyle Singler?
So this is who will or not who want? Who do you want to?
Either way. I don't care.
Well, who will?
Who do you want to? Let's do that.
Honestly, who do I want to?
Is there a choice C?
I'm going to go that, Kyle Singler, because I want him to perform like we have always felt like he should and can. Mm-hmm. And I also think that he will play more minutes than Josh Uses.
Robert? I'm going to go this, who I want to. I'm going to go Josh, just because, like we talked about with Cam earlier, if Ronnie Price looks better, I still want to see Cam out there,
right?
You know, running through the motions and getting some run.
So do you think there's legitimate hope for Josh Uses to become a serviceable NBA player?
Yeah.
You really do?
I really do. Especially because
he's got the build.
I mean, yeah, he's big, athletic. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he can pull a Dre and just lock people up, and I hope so.
We'll just hold every team to like 60 points, and that's how we'll beat them.
Okay, here's the last. Is this the last one?
Yeah, that's the last one.
Okay, which is more likely to happen this coming season? This, Russ scores 60 points in one game, or that, Adams grabs 25 rebounds in one game?
Shit.
Intense question.
That.
Really?
I really hope
25 would be sweet.
That would be awesome.
But so
I'm
going
to go this. I'm going to go this.
But I feel like
I really want the 25.
I feel like on Russ.
That would be badass.
Same game. Same game.
Oh, a 60 for Russ, 25
I feel like that's
Russ.
Like
we win that game by
45
the way.
To 50 shots, and he scored 60 points. I don't like it.
Well, but if he's shooting 35% from three,
well then he
won't. We combined all these together.
Yeah, he's getting fouled.
It's a pack.
And you know how he sells those fouls on the threes too. Get us some Twitter questions.
Tweet, 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 tweet. All right. Chirp. Huh, okay. At Ben3 says, which one is the best defender between Ilyasova, Laverne, Cantor, and Sabonis?
So the ones we were talking about earlier.
He called our topic. Good job to you for that. Ben3.
Whoever gets to play with Adams.
Individually.
Individually, who's the best?
It's a tough one.
I hope it's...
I haven't heard much about Laverne's defense. I looked for stuff and... There wasn't much there.
From what I understand, he's not a great defender. So honestly, I would probably say Ilyasova at this point. He's a veteran.
He takes charges.
He's decently physical with guys. He can take charges, so he does create turnovers in that way. He's not going to block a shot. He's not going to steal the ball. Yeah. I would say out of those four right now, I mean, I think you would hope Sabonis comes in and has an impact, but I don't think you can expect it.
Not defensively. I'm going to go... I hope it's Cantor. out of those four. Awesome. I hope it's cancer.
I don't see it.
Don't hold your breath, bro.
Well, I'm not holding my breath on any
Dude,
of them.
Hold your breath.
Oh.
That was it. No, you gotta stop smoking.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I will.
The morphine. Okay.
Next question.
I don't think you can smoke that. At Boom.
Smoke morphine?
At Boom OU Updated says, who gets more minutes at end of the season?
Boom. Oh, oh. You updated. Okay, sorry.
They didn't have a question mark at the end, but.
Oh, whatever.
Still.
Say it one more time.
Who gets more minutes at end of season? Oh. Who gets more minutes at end of the season, Morrow or Abrinas? And yeah, it's a valid question.
It is a valid question, but I go Morrow. Yeah. I think it's going to be Morrow.
I'm there with you. I hope Morrow. So. I hope it's Morrow.
I think Abrinas, like we talked about,
I think it's actually better to hope for Abrinas because
I just want him to be a JJ type.
He'd have to be good. Like he'd have to legitimately be good to earn more minutes than Morrow, but I don't think he's going to be quite
the
ready.
Only way I think Abrinas gets more minutes. If there's injuries. I mean, that's the only way. I just
right.
Don't see
I'm guessing this, his question's based.
I don't.
Off no
I
injuries.
Don't see it happening if there's no injuries.
Like I need
with,
you to
with injuries.
Yeah. No. What I'm saying is, if there's no injuries, I don't see it. I don't see.
I'm
it as
with
a possibility.
You. I don't see it either. We might be wrong, but
we're never wrong.
that's a very good point.
we might not be wrong ever.
Okay, you didn't have like we already said.
We might or we might not be wrong. Is what I'm saying. We could be both.
Okay. Next question.
At Ermagerd Blame. I love that a
That's
lot.
That's a good one.
Ermagerd. Predicted stat line for Oladipo. Really wondering what his PPG would be.
This is a good question that we game. Actually haven't talked about very much.
We haven't.
You go, Rob. What are you thinking for Oladipo?
The whole just points per game, or are we going to do all of it?
Start with the points per game.
I will say 17.
That's, I think I'd probably go about 16. So it's going to be right in the direction that you were going. But,
well, the last 3 years, he's been 13.8, 17.9, and 16.
Yeah. And
that's
think,
with Orlando
and
where he's been heavily guarded.
And you're hoping that he's going to have, you know, he's going to be sort of the number two guy.
Yeah. I would assume that he's going to be number two in scoring on the team.
Yeah.
So,
I'm gonna go 19.
And then rebounds, I think you can expect about 5 a game. And then assists, I think you can expect about 5.
5, I think, would be pretty good. Yeah. Rebounds.
He's a good rebounder. Eight in the scrimmage, dude.
So
what's that tell you?
Well, if he had like 17, 18, 5, and 5, that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty good.
So what's the ceiling there? 22? No, that's too high. 20?
I think he could throw down through 22.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think probably 20 is. I mean, if he gets 20,
maybe
or 25
and 7 or something like that. 20 sweet. Points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists.
Okay. I was like, man,
sorry.
That'd be awesome.
Unclear.
That would be incredible.
That's ceiling.
7 assists.
That's a ceiling, I think.
That would be awesome.
And then floor, I would say 15, 3, and 4. You know, something like that.
Do you kind of
That'd
hope he struggles a little bit so that he might be a little cheaper? In the off season, no,
I do not. I want him. To, I want. I want
do shitty here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Be terrible just
Stop
for this
making
year.
Making baskets.
I guess I hope that he loves where he is so much that he's willing to
take
not
home, take that hometown discount.
Exactly. I mean, he seems to like it
very
so far.
Much.
Man,
I
really like Victor Oladipo though. I love listening to him talk.
Oh,
seems
dude,
like such a cool guy.
He can sing really well. I don't know if you knew that.
I refuse to listen.
It's pretty good.
I don't like
video.
Music.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Music isn't
That's
good.
Not
yeah.
real.
Isn't it, wouldn't that be a weird thing? Like, you know, I just don't like music.
Well, he does that.
Yeah, I pretty much do that.
That's the real life right there.
Yep. All right, you know what time it is? Time for notes. It's time for notes.
Is it time for...
Okay, just hit the note sounder.
Yeah, you can't find it.
He doesn't know what it is. Oh, my God.
Where'd you put it?
What? Is this really happening?
Say it again.
Notes. It's time for notes.
What's that time for?
It's time for notes. All right. The NBA is reportedly going to crack down on hits to the groin in the upcoming season. The Draymond Green rule, right?
Yeah.
Would have helped. Really wouldn't have helped the Thunder because even if he was suspended, the game he would have been suspended for, the Thunder demolished the Warriors.
So is the new rule they're just going to look at it closer?
Isn't that weird that it hasn't been a rule before? Like, so it was
well,
fine
it hasn't,
before?
It hasn't really been an issue before.
No one's ever really just gone out and kicked people in the dick.
Yeah.
So now they're going to look out for it. Like,
yeah.
Just like, stop flailing your damn legs around.
I think someone was telling Steven Adams about it at Media Day or the first practice the other day, and they were saying, telling him about it, and they were like, well, it's any unnatural actions after a thing. So
yeah, there's not very many natural actions that take you into
somebody's groin
a thing. Yeah,
yeah, I was actually, they were showing the game that that happened in on NBA TV the other day, and I saw that kick again, and it's still
so ridiculous.
Still today, I'm just like, wow, how did he not get?
Well, also the one that he like, we don't need to talk about it again, but the one where he said, I didn't even notice I kicked him. He was looking straight at the dude's dick with his foot in it. Just
it's
like,
it's the ones where he almost kicks somebody in the head that get me.
Yeah,
that's like not your crotch, but like, why are you kicking your leg that high?
And why are you taking karate in the off season? Like, how do you know? How can you lift your leg this high?
Is he in Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
Another thing, they're also going to crack down on like catching and dribbling travels, which is going to be interesting. How long is that really going to last? Though? I don't know. You know, like they might like
call a couple at the start.
At the start of the season, then as the season goes on, just be like, you know, I don't like.
You think they're going to be as on the ball and on about those three in the keys as they were last year after Cuban called them out? Because they started like really getting on it after that.
I don't know. It's not a question for me.
No.
It's for asking you. Joey Crawford.
Joey Crawford, he's dead.
Joffrey LaVerne, he attended Oklahoma City's skydiving. Skydiving thing.
Oh, he did?
I've never been. Have you been?
No.
I was going to be
he has definitely not done anything.
I want to go, though.
It's very expensive.
I've just been chilling here, really.
So. Yeah, it is very expensive.
Yeah, it is.
How much is it?
I think it's like $300 to do it.
Did you? I was thinking it's a little less, but I mean, it's like over $200.
I'll just go real skydiving.
And I think you have to do like a whole class beforehand or something. I think I might be so wrong on this, but I feel like I've heard that.
we're ruining their business.
Well, still though, maybe we can get them as a sponsor.
No, probably not.
Okay. On a slightly related note, I want to do that thing where you have to get out of the room. Like,
I've done that before.
I want to do that too.
Oh,
let's do it
Brandon.
As a pod.
Oh, yeah, we can pod from inside the room.
You got like a time limit.
Yeah, we got to escape. We can't be talking about basketball.
It's really, it's like, it's okay. It's not that cool. Ronnie Price said that I think we mentioned this earlier. He said Russell Westbrook is hands down the best player he's ever played with. That includes Kobe, which it was late in Kobe's career, and Steve Nash. So that was kind of cool. I mean, high praise from Ronnie. It's fun listening to Ronnie talk. He's kind of like a dad. He sounds like a dad. He's the new dad of the team. Last year was Steve Novak. You remember Steve Novak played in Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
Okay, next. Russell Westbrook's name was announced first in the introductions in the scrimmage last night, which it always has been as a Thunder player because KD's been last. Is that going to continue in the
season?
I think
it should.
Yeah, I think they'll continue it.
So who's going to be last?
Adams?
Yeah,
people love Adams.
God, but wouldn't it be cool, like, opening home night, Russell Westbrook announced last and the crowd just going
maybe
crazy.
That one game.
Oh, they will go crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to go bonkers. They're going to have to wait.
Like,
if they do him first, they're going to have to wait a few minutes.
Yeah, no one will be able to even hear the other starters. We still won't know who plays power forward. Until
Until halfway through the game.
And then the last thing, did everybody see The Ringer, their video they released on the Super Stash Bros, like Super Mario Brothers knockoff thing.
It was pretty fantastic.
If you haven't watched it, go to The Ringer's Twitter page. Keep scrolling a little bit and you'll run into it. It's really, really funny. Really good. Really well done.
Someone brought up that on Twitter that whenever Russ appears in the game, they play an 8-bit version of Bad Blood by Taylor Swift.
That's right. I read that.
I can't remember if it was Thunder Mobber who said that, but it was pretty funny.
I know what you're talking about, and I think I didn't watch it after that to try to pick it out, but I need to do that now. All right, well, follow us on Twitter at OKC Thunderheads and subscribe on iTunes. You can check us out on OKCThunderheads.com. Find us on Facebook, SoundCloud, Google Play. Thank you for listening. First preseason game is Monday, and we are less than a month away from regular season
NBA basketball.
So, as always, Thunder up. Listening.
That's good. Jazzy.
I like finishing it off on the notes.
Oh, it ends right as you put them on. Okay.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.